Blog Talk Radio.
Mexico, but a majority of it is the middle of nowhere, and I was rapidly approaching needing a gas stop, and this town just happened to coincide with right when I need to call in, so I had to gas up, and I'm fine. All is well. Getting back on the road as we speak. The first mobile Blue Shirt Banner Radio episode.
Wow, now I've been to every state in this great country of ours. You're a great American, Jim. I always want to say down the air that I chew my lozenge that I have in my mouth. But anyway, this is really good radio that I'm chewing on the air. But hey, when is it ever good radio when we're on the air?
You're chewing,
it's always
I'm driving,
good radio.
Getting on. That's right. You won't get this from Mike Francesa.
We'll get to Mike Francesa. There was actually some hockey talk there on FAN today. Big time hockey.
Oh, what? Really?
Well, we'll get to that because it's not Ranger related, so we could care less. We'll save it for
segment
of me going to that Islander game last night and ushering in the Jack Capuano era.
Era or
era? Yeah, era. E-R-R-O-R. You're right.
Not era.
Now,
error.
Era. And I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. I mean, let's talk about it right off the bat. Rangers lose to the Brew Crew last night, 3-2 with those Heritage jerseys. Saw the game on DVR. DVR'd it, and you know, it was kind of a strange game, Jim. What was your take on the whole thing?
I thought the Bruins played very well. I thought they didn't give the Rangers anything all night long. I mean, it seemed like the Rangers didn't get any clean shots. Let me rephrase that. It seemed like they were tipping a lot of shots, blocking a lot of shots. And I just thought the Rangers made life far too easy for Tim Thomas last night. I know he had 38 saves. But I just thought they were all shots right in the gut. They didn't screen them much. I mean, they had that 5-on-3. There's nobody in front of the net. Every shot Thomas saw. I just thought they made life too easy for him last night. The Bruins played a great game, and yeah, what are you going to do? Bruins, they're a good team.
I think the Bruins definitely match up against the Rangers pretty well. They're two comparable teams, I think, in a lot of ways. And I'm sure we'll go through some of the key points of the game that, you know, Rangers got a lot of shots, and the Rangers really haven't been out shooting a lot of opponents lately.
Yeah, look what happens when they do.
Right. You know, we've been talking about the rope-a-dope ways of the Rangers. The Rangers finally pound some shots on net. But when we were talking earlier, you made a good point that the Rangers didn't have a lot of quality chances, not a lot of second or third chances. And I thought the shots on goal were a little bit deceptive. Are you in some kind of bowling alley? It sounds like you're in the sixth frame. You have a couple beers with your buddies. What's going on?
No,
I
rolled down the window a little bit to try and get some, but it was too loud. That's going to be too loud. I'm not going to be able to do that. So,
I mean, is it necessary for you to drive and talk? I feel that there's maybe some safety issues here.
I have my headset on. All is well. This is a welcome distraction. What could possibly be wrong with doing 75 miles an hour down Interstate 40 while you're co-hosting a radio show? Show me where there's a problem.
I see no problem in it.
Exactly.
I just will say that chat room is packed. We are full of regulars, irregulars, semi-regulars.
Irregulars.
I'd love to see the turnout. What?
Deregulars.
Right. I may have said that, but anyway.
No, you said irregulars.
Hey, oh, okay.
Hey, you want to hear an email I got today?
Sure.
All right. Nothing unsafe about this.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Now you're going to read email while you're driving? I mean, this is a little bit unsafe. Please, instead of up in
no.
Jury.
No.
Please.
No, I pulled over. Jim, I wanted to take a minute and introduce myself. I pulled over. I grew up in Bayside, New York, a huge Ranger fan in the 70s and 80s. As I got older, I got married, divorced, remarried, moved to New Jersey, had a son, etc. I travel a lot for work, and my time on planes, trains, and in cars is very valuable to me. Over this past summer, I found Blue Shirt Banner on iTunes, and I have to tell you, you and Eddie are fantastic at what you guys do. I listened to many shows this past weekend. I have finally caught up to date. I am sorry I cannot make the listening party next week. Family obligations will preclude me from attending, but I hope I hope you have a blast. From all the BS that exists in life, including the garden hierarchy, just F them. Don't take that crap personal. Even other callers who say they love the Rangers but really love another team in the Midwest. As someone who sat in the blue seats in 1978, I can say that the Rangers will always be my team, and I wanted to thank you for bringing back good memories with some laughter into my life with them. It's not so easy being surrounded by Devil Dogs fans. I just placed an order for a Blue Shirt Banner Radio T-shirt. Have a wonderful holiday, and I hope to call in one of these days. All the best, Craig, the Iceman.
Well, Craig,
Craig
the Iceman, let me say this to you directly. You have once again, well, not you, but people of your ilk, and especially you at this moment, have warmed the cockles of my heart. Yet again, the cockles are on fire. Yeah. Thank you so much. I really do genuinely appreciate it. That's so nice. And, it's just us fans talking at hockey, breaking it down, keeping it real in the field, as they say. Jim, are you going to begin driving again at some madcap pace?
I'm driving. All is well. This is like, New Mexico is like complete
like
open
wacky
road.
Race.
Yeah, I'm like.
Wacky racers.
Penelope Pitch.
We should have a wacky racers amongst our chat room people and our Facebook people and our listeners. Would be Penelope Pitstop, would be the Antil
Mob. No. Wacky racers would be funny, but that is definitely more of a cannonball run crew.
Now, Jim, I have been notified via internet message that the great Stacey Katz is in the chat room.
Wow.
There you have
great.
It. Reaction live from New Mexico.
Another listener. Hey, welcome, Stacey Katz. Can't wait to meet you next week. Looking forward to it because, quite honestly, I've got to know what you see in that man.
There you have it. You wanted it. Now, we have two callers waiting. I don't know if I should get to the calls. You're going to have to help me since I haven't watched, I haven't done the switchboard thing in quite a while. I have a 917 and a 631.
631 I know is a long... 917 is probably Zach. The 631
right,
could be Coast. 631 could be Costa.
Okay, well,
could be.
I'll keep those guys at bay. Please hold on and bear with me as I want to bring up some topics to kind of get everything the juices flowing, so to speak. Let's get it going here. A couple things I noticed in this game. Erik Christensen made a bad play. On that two-on-one, on that play where he had the open net, and he decides to pass to Gavrik. You know, you don't want to break it down and say it hinged on one play, but what was he thinking? He had the whole side of the net.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. Yeah, shoot. Exactly. Shoot the puck, Barry. Shoot the puck. I mean. And they did something similar later in the game. Can't remember who it was. It might have been Frolov and Gavrik. And I think Frolov tried to throw the pass to Gavrik,
right.
But he really should have just shot the puck.
Yeah, he made a bad pass. Kind of. Go ahead.
Sometimes I think this team subscribes to the Norman Dale method. You ever see the movie Hoosiers? You ever seen that movie?
Right.
Gene Hackman?
Yes.
They got to have three passes
yeah.
before you shoot.
Right. Yes. And that's funny because we didn't see that before Gavrik came back. You know, because the first line consisted of guys who were just throwing the puck at the net and really just, you know, seeing what happens with that. And the Rangers are entering somewhat of a dilemma now because they're making, because the, you know, for all intended purposes, the first line in the first 15, 16 games is now the second line. And so we're seeing a little bit more of that. And I guess another topic, and also to get the blood pressure up, the handsome Swede, Henrik Lundqvist. That was a soft goal. He gave up the recce, a 42-year-old Mark Recce. Now, I'm not crucifying him. I'm not hanging him out to dry. I'm just throwing it out there. We're paying him all this money. I'm just saying it was not a shining moment for Henrik. And then I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. What do you guys think? And I think the other thing that bothered me that wasn't non-game related was the horrible announcing of Joe Micheletti and Sam Rosen, especially when they broached the topic of Colin Campbell's his inappropriate emails, his controversial emails. And they were like, oh, Colin's just a jokester. He's a great man. He's just joking around. Come on. Who takes any of that seriously? He's one of the fair men of all time. I was like,
yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
So what were your take
funny,
on?
Good old funny. Good old funny bones Coley.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a laugh a minute. Now,
he was a real charm when he was head coach.
Oh yeah, I remember. He was quite a jokester behind the bench. So, I guess we'll go to the phones. We'll see what's going on. You know, usually when I host, it's going to be some haphazard broadcast. So, I apologize, but, you know, we're on the road here. I'm in New York. Jimmy's in New Mexico. I'm in America. I mean, in New York. And,
hey, you know what I was just thinking about? Now, we have, I was in Florida, right? You're in New York. So that's two states. Arizona's three states. New Mexico's four states. Next week, we're going to broadcast from New Jersey. That's five states. How many radio shows can say they've done their show in five different states?
The Amos can't even say they do their show in their own county. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know if that show's even on Hotster Radio.
By the way, there's no truth to the rumor that next season we will be the home, the broadcast home of the New York Islanders.
No, they would. I don't think there's any amount of money. So now, let's make the March of the Insane Soldiers as we start off probably the most insane caller that this program has ever had the pleasure of hearing from. I believe this is John Newman. John Newman, you're on the air.
Eddie.
201. Yes, John, how are you?
How are you, Eddie? Jim, how are you in New Mexico?
Hi, John. How's it going?
How's Area 51?
Haven't seen it.
Excuse me?
I haven't seen it.
I'm sure you're in it right now. That's why you sound so good.
Well, could be. Am I not coming through clear?
You sound like a prince compared to what you used to be. A totally different state changed
Newman,
your whole perception.
Newman's doing shtick.
Yeah, this call could go real quick. Newman, talk about
Hackman.
You watch
the
game last night.
Play the boom sound effect, Eddie. Play the boom. Run him.
All right, John Newman.
Did you hang up on him?
I was just obeying orders.
That's funny. Let him call back in because now he's going to be sending me mean Facebook messages.
Oh,
John, we love you. You got to do busting my. You're going to get on there and do shtick.
So anyway, now here's my thing about
how
the topic that I brought up. Listen, I do fault Lundqvist a little for giving up the goal. That was a weak goal. But, you know, you can't really get crazy on him. I mean, he was tremendous in the Pittsburgh game. I thought a lot of Rangers played well. I thought Delzato had a solid game. I thought Derek Stepan had an excellent game. I think the doldrums that he had gone through for a little bit there, he's starting to come out of it, playing with a little more confidence. He picked up two assists in the other game the other night. Steve Emminger
picked up one last night too, right?
Yeah, and Steve Emminger continues to impress me, and you know, you don't want to get caught up in just, you know, living and dying in every game. And again, you're going to lose games. Tim Thomas made an awesome save on Callahan. He played a good game. The guy's having a fantastic season. So, but there are areas of concern because the Rangers are dropping games at home. I don't like to see that. And I got to say, I might be in the minority here as far as the uniforms go. I like them, the Heritage jerseys I'm talking about. I like them, but I don't love them. I would like to see how other people feel about that. How do you feel about that?
I like them. I think it's a, you know, I like the fact that, you know, an Original Six team, it's a classic look for an Original Six team. You know, I like the fact that they didn't try and get too fancy, you know, try anything, any, you know, weird colors or stripes or, or zigzags, right? You know, some of the ridiculous third jerseys we've seen, like those Tampa Bay Lightning ones that say bolts across them. I like them. I think it's a nice classic look. I like the fact that they say New York on them. I like the blue on them. I like that off-white, I don't know what you call it. It's the same color they used at Center Ice and the logo. A lot of people are complaining because it's an 85th anniversary celebration, and who celebrates 85 years? Well, the Rangers do. When you want to sell
the
jerseys.
The marketing department does.
Yeah, and that's something that's kind of pissed me off. I've seen this a lot. And I had an argument with a guy on Facebook the other night. I don't even know the guy. He's a friend of somebody else that's a friend of ours. And I start arguing with the guy, and he says, am I the only one that sees that this is just another cheap marketing ploy by the Garden to sell jerseys? And I responded to him, and I said, well, of course the marketing gives to sell jerseys. But, you know, I understand, you know, I'm not pro-Garden, but don't make it sound like Madison Square Garden invented this idea. Every team in sports has a third, fourth, fifth, sixth jersey. You know, of course, you know, it's not breaking news. Teams like to sell merchandise. Don't fault them. You know, don't just pick on the Garden. Everybody, you know, the only team I can think of in sports that doesn't have a third jersey is the Yankees. They're the only ones I can think of. I mean, even
the Kings have a couple. We haven't had third jersey since the Liberties, right?
Right.
So
they discontinued those about 4 years ago, I think.
My problem was that I'm not a fan of the collar on it. I don't know why. It's a little off-putting for me. I don't know why. And they look a lot like the Blue Jackets. I know nobody ever watches a Blue Jacket game, but it reminds me a little bit. But I don't mind it. I like. Maybe it'll grow on me, like John Newman. You know, maybe something initially I'll detest, and then I like. I'm only kidding, John. Hey, I'm getting beat up. Hey. I apologize, John. Yes?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, as I think we've noticed by now, Ranger fans just kind of, some Ranger fans just like to complain about anything.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, don't fault them for doing what 99% of sports teams do. I mean, I think I was reading somewhere the other day, I think it's University of Oregon, that their football team has something like 600 different uniform combinations because of all the different jerseys they have. You know, this is how teams make money. Don't fault them. I mean, you know, usually the Garden's first in line to make money. This time they're a little behind everybody else, but I can't fault them for coming out for a jersey, and so what? So they're celebrating 85 years. Well, good for them. Good for everybody.
Yeah. Everybody seems to like them, and it's created a buzz, and everybody's happy. Again, if it makes people happy, what are we going to tear it down for? I don't know. So I guess I like them, but I didn't love them as some people were flipping out, loving them. I'm getting one. Hey, it's Rangers. It's got to be good.
Let me put it this way. I know you're not a fan of the Liberty jerseys at all, right? The blue or the white?
The blue better than the white.
Okay.
White
well,
blue.
I will say this. When I got if you remember correctly, the Liberty jerseys. Of course the internet wasn't as prevalent, but nobody had seen the Liberty jerseys until right before. I mean, it was like a half hour before the game started. MSG pregame, that was when they debuted the new jersey. I will say this, that when I first got a look at the Liberty jersey, because I'm a big fan of the Liberty jersey, I had much more of a wow factor than I did with these jerseys, but I still like them very much. I love the Liberty jerseys.
Yeah, you were a big fan of those. And, you know,
I like all
the jerseys.
I even like the pajama jersey, but we've been through that.
Yeah, we've discussed. All right, let's go to the phones here. We got a lot of people on waiting in the wings, as they say. And I believe this may be Costa, but we will see. As I said, I'm working a switchboard tonight, so it'll be chaos It'll be surprises. It'll be what's behind door number one, what's behind door number two, what's behind door number three. Could be a great prize or could be a zonk. Let's go to area code 631.
A lifetime supplier, squid.
631-772. You're on the air with Jim and Eddie.
Hi, Jim, Ed. Hi, this is Pat from Long Island.
Oh, hello, Pat.
Pat, call it for the laundry room.
Yeah, this is the laundry room guy. Nah, finally I'm in my own room right now.
Oh, okay. How are you, Pat?
Wonderful, wonderful. So you're heading up for the, I guess, for Thanksgiving now, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm on my way.
My question, well, not my question, my comment is, I mean, have you guys brought up anything about how bad, how far the Islanders have fallen now that they're, like, firing their own press people just for discussing the truth?
Well, Pat,
I think
it's funny you should say that. Because last night, my friend, who is a Ranger fan as well as myself, won free tickets to an Islander game. And he was at some kind of cancer benefit. Yeah, I know, whoopee. He was at some kind of cancer benefit, and he won these free tickets. Fourth row from the glass. And I'm a hockey fan, first and foremost, and I don't get a chance to see that close to see professional hockey, and I still haven't, because I went to the game, and the Islanders were playing. So professional hockey was it was debatable. But I got to see Stamkos in St. Louis, and that franchise is about as sad as it's gotten. And, yes, that blogger that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I believe his name is Chris Botta. His credentials were pulled by the Islanders. What's your take on that whole situation? I was there. It's a very sad place.
Yeah, it's just everything. I almost wish they were better so that the old rivalries from the 80s would be back, because I enjoyed those games when it was just Ranger Islanders. But it's just astonishing how far that organization has fallen. And I almost feel bad for them now at this point. And, you know, not to so much talk about the Islanders, I just more wanted to bring it up just because of the fact that having somebody who's pressed just talking about the truth and firing them or pulling their credentials, I think the NHL should step in and inform the Islanders that that's not the way, because definitely you couldn't do that in baseball. If any sports writer got fired for saying what they said, all the other sports writers would just ban that sports team and not talk about them anymore. It's sad that the NHL...
If I can jump in for a second, did something else happen with Chris Botta? I know he got fired in the offseason and was just kind of doing his own thing, but did something else happen? Or are we still talking about what, or are we referring back to what happened over the summer with him?
Oh, from what I became aware, I think it was, I'm almost somewhat becoming aware of it more recently. So if this is from a long time ago, maybe, I don't know how far back, and all of a sudden now it's becoming knowledge, then...
Oh, well, he was there, if I understood the story correctly, he was their PR guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they fired him, and then he was just kind of he was blocking on his own about the Oscars.
All right, this is how it goes. This is the article.
Okay.
FanHouse National NHL writer Chris Botta has confirmed that his press credentials were revoked by the New York Islanders. Botta was a longtime employee of the Islanders, working for over 20 years, including more than 10 as vice president of communications. Along with his work at FanHouse, Botta runs the Islanders blog on Islanders Point Blank, on which he provides comprehensive coverage of the team. The blog began as a team-funded publication, but has since become entirely independent from the NHL franchise. The move comes after the firing of Islander coach Scott the Commissioner Gordon on Monday. After the move, Botta wrote on IPB that the team's 10-game losing streak, which has now reached 11, was not the fault of solely Gordon, and everyone, even Gar Snow, has to know that. And that's why he was fired.
Oh. He was fired for saying that? That's ridiculous. That's something.
Yep.
That's something the Rangers would do. I mean, you know, that's just ridiculous. I mean, come on. Here's a guy who worked for the organization for 20 years. I mean, he's given his heart and soul to that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they fire him, he continues to cover them when he had every reason to say, screw you, and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And he still continues to do it. And then continues to do it after they pull the funding from it. He does it on his own. And then they pull his credentials. Hey, screw them. Not screw them. I would expect that from the Rangers.
It's amazing that, you know, if the NHL, as much as I love it and wish it was more popular, one of the ideas why they're not so popular is because of the way they almost treat their whole league as some sort of secret thing, and they're afraid to talk with the truth that's been going on about it. I mean, because the other sports, whether it be football, basketball, or baseball, this would never happen. This would never be allowed.
Well, in fairness to the league itself has gotten much. The league itself is actually somewhat at the forefront in the whole quote unquote new media. They're very active on Twitter. They let you know if you're familiar with the show, you know that the credentials ramp, and it's the individual teams that are stepping in and trying to, and you know, screwing that up, basically.
Okay.
You know, obviously, you may or may not have heard how the Rangers feel about me. It's not good. and they've asked the NHL to never credential me again. They told them to happen. The NHL told them, you know, NHL didn't say yes. They didn't say no. They just basically said, we're not going to let you make that decision for us. That's our decision. And if we want to credential bloggers, we're still going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for the Islanders to do that, I mean, Chris Botta, not only is he as loyal as they come, obviously, but
mm-hmm.
he's a good writer. And, Eddie, remember I made that comment back during training camp that he said he got more to write about regarding the cupcake story than he did from, like, P.A. Parenteau and a couple other players. He was the one that made that funny comment. That was Chris Botta. I mean, I've met Chris at the draft. He's a good guy, you know, a bit misguided in his team loyalty, but he's a good guy, and he knows his shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's just ridiculous. I would love to hear what the Islanders' director of social media has to say about that. And Eddie knows who I'm talking about.
Just to make one Ranger point, has anybody noticed the past couple of games? I mean, even though Frolov finally scored a couple of goals, that no matter who he runs into, he always seems to be on the ice, regardless. It's just anybody that touches him in a corner for a puck, he's always falling over. It's just, I mean, I know a couple of shows ago you were talking about how that he was coming close to being the number one person all the Ranger fans was going to start booing. And as I was just wondering if any of you guys have noticed the fact that he can barely stand on his skates anytime he runs into anybody.
Well, he's certainly on a short leash with the fans right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding back any kind of derisive comments. I want to see him play a little more with Gabrick and Christensen, or whether it's DePond. I really think he's a skill guy that needs to play with other skill guys, but if he doesn't get turned around quickly, it's going to be. Now, I haven't noticed him getting knocked down. I know he did score a goal from sitting on his tuchus there, so he was down on, even when he scored, he was down there, he was knocked down. But it could turn ugly for Mr. Frolov, or his Friggins, as we call him. He's a combination of a Chris Higgins and a Frolov.
How about wrap around?
One other thing that I remember from last year to this year that we were ragging about leading up to the season about the coach constantly switching up lines. This season he's been pretty solid with keeping the lines all together.
I think we got
well, yeah, for the most part, the only thing I noticed that, you know, like Eddie just said, Stepan has moved up to the first line, and I wonder if that's going to be a permanent thing now. I thought they played very well together.
I mean, he seems not to be progressing after that first week. He would have spurts here and there, but nothing he would be able to produce. So, obviously, giving him more ice time would justify other than sending him back to the minors.
Good point.
Right.
And I think they really believe that Stepan has a good head on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be more aware of the defensive zone and also creating plays. He's ahead of schedule on that. And I think they feel he can hang with the NHLers so far. And you're right. Him moving up to the first line gives him more ice time rather than sending him to Hartford and playing 20 useless minutes down there.
Because
I'm really down on that Kenjin Anders Hartford whale pack at this point. But, I think that's a good point. I mean, go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, I'd certainly rather see what he could do with Gabrick and Frolov than Brody DuPont.
Or the Norwegian Hobbit. When you guys are done, could you put me back on hold so I can listen to the show?
Sure, Pat. Pat, I have to tell you, your initial phone call was probably one of the funniest phone calls you've ever had.
Oh, the laundry room?
Yeah, that was great.
Please. My wife is watching in the other room, something to do with probably some law and order killing some woman somewhere. And I'm so looking forward to next week. I'm so looking forward to meeting you guys down in Jersey.
Well, we can't wait to meet you. I'm looking forward to it too, man. All right, Pat, have a good evening, and thanks again for calling in. We really appreciate
it. Not a problem. You too, Jim and Eb.
Take care.
Take care,
it.
Pat.
There you go.
Later. The great Pat. That's the building now. If you thought
we're gonna call him, we should call him Laundry Pat.
Laundry Pat. Pat from the laundry room
Pat.
Has just checked in, and now.
Or Maytag or something.
We're gonna move on. We're gonna keep it fast paced, there, John. Jimmy's driving 95 miles an hour. Actually, he's driving 88 miles an hour. He's crashing the gate doing 88. Let them truckers roll, 10-4. We got a Ranger Blue Shirt Bandit Radio Convoy. And now, we're going to go down to Florida. Another participant in this convoy, Mr. Paulie D, checking in with us. Paulie, welcome to Blue Shirt Bandit Radio.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Jim, drive safe, man. Get there in one piece, you know?
I'm doing fine, Paulie. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, hey, a couple of quick comments. I wanted to get your thoughts. It's kind of been irritating me since last night's game. It's funny you guys were talking about Stefan. Listen, I like this kid. I really do. I think he's going to be a fantastic hockey player for us. I don't like the idea, 5-on-3, important time of the game. He is the featured center for a minute and 45 seconds. I think Artie Anisimov has earned the spot, so to speak, to get that ice time to help us try and put the puck in the net. And again, I'm not coming down on the kid. The kid is playing, you know, he's playing within the parameters that they're asking. I appreciate the fact that, you know, they're moving him around and seeing what he can do. That's great. If anybody didn't notice, he played the complete minute 45, 5-on-3 last night, which to me was a little surprising, and more so for the fact that he kept getting the puck. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Eddie, I'm sure you watched the game when you got home or whatever or sometime today.
Yeah.
And I know Jim watched the game, but what are you thinking there? I was a little disappointed there for the fact that, I mean, we're looking to tie the game. There's not a lot of time left in the game. This is it. It's do or die on this 5-on-3. And obviously, you know, you guys spoke about the weak goal and, yes, it's a weak goal, but at the same time, the New York Rangers had their opportunity, and if you take them all aside and you look at this 5-on-3, with Gavrik on the ice, Dubinsky on the ice, Callahan on the ice, I'm thinking you got to have Artie there, and maybe even Brian Boyle. Brian Boyle has really showed a lot.
Well, Jim, do you want to go first, or would you like me to respond first?
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you, Paul. I didn't even realize that Stepan was on the ice for that time, for the entire 5-on-3 time. I just thought that's I don't know, they were, and the shots they were taking, like I said before, they weren't screening Thomas at all. But it's interesting that you point that out about Stepan. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't put Artie on the ice for that.
Well, here's my take on it. I personally, you know, it's funny, Paulie, we were thinking alike on this, because I've been kind of wondering how Artie's been getting a little bit, I'm a big Artem Anisimov fan. I think he's come a long way. I was a little perturbed by that. I think the coach's feeling is that Artie does not have the vision that Stepan has. Now, I don't know why that is, but he really thinks that Stepan really clicks more with that line. But I think Artie deservedly deserved to be out there as well. That line clicks, and that line clicks for a reason. If you got Callahan and Dubinsky out there, I think you have to have Artem out there. And Stepan's got to earn his keep. We talked about this as well on in earlier programs as far as, you know, Artem Anisimov, it basically took him so long to get some first line. Oh, boy. Oh, we got no sound here. What's going on?
No, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm getting people saying there's no sound. All right. Anyway, you know, it took Artie a long time to get his first line bones, and it seems like Derek Stepan, you know, might have slipped in there. You know, it might be, you know, just a little sticking point with us fans of Artem. But, yeah, I can see a point on it. I think it's a valid point. I mean, I was thinking about it.
Well, like I said, I mean, I'm watching the game, and I'm pretty privy on things like that. I always want to see who's out there and what's going on. But, you know, even more so, the thing that really surprised me is, you know, if you want to look back on the game, you know, Delzato keeps shelling the puck to that side of that side of the ice to step on. He keeps dishing it off over there. And I mean, if anybody noticed, he actually tried to make a centering pass and it went off a defender. And that's the play Callahan almost tried to tip in the rebound, I believe. And you know, I mean, there's no use of crying over spilt milk, but I was just very surprised with the coaching decision. I like the fact that they want to put the kid on the power play here and there. That's definitely smart. Like you guys said, it's nice to see them move around. They want to see what he can do, that kind of thing. But in a situation where it's the game, I was a little disappointed. But on the positive side, and, you know, maybe I could get a pat on the back here, I think Dubinsky's finally cracked the egg, boys. What do you think?
Gotta let
Paulie,
him go. I mean, how can we dispute it?
Couldn't agree with you more, Paulie. If it wasn't for Brian Boyle, I mean, he'd be the most improved player on the team. He's a different player this year. To me, he looks 100 times more confident. He's shooting the puck more. keeping all I hope. I just hope he keeps it going. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to score 60. I don't think he's going to keep up the pace of 60 goals. But well, what's he now? Well, I guess he's on pace for about 35, 40 at this point.
It'd be,
I still
it
think
would
he
be,
tops out at
be
about
nice.
30, but. But
I
wouldn't complain at all about him scoring 30 goals.
I think finally he's coming into his game, and we've talked about this a lot, Malton. It's funny because I was thinking about it the other day. How you've always brought to the forefront. You know, do Ranger fans think, you know, our prospects are much higher than they are, and things like that, and. You know, I've been around the game my whole life, not at this level, but at levels. And you can always see something in certain players. And I just feel like Dubinsky is going to be a for real hockey player, and he's only going to get better, I think. And I had said this on my show, and something I wanted to bring to you guys is, it's in a crazy way, Gabrick being out for those 12 games, and I had said this before anybody else said it, Gabrick being out really helped Callahan and Dubinsky get to that next level. I think the onus was put on them. You know, it's time, guys. It's your time to shine. They got tons of minutes, and they kind of carried the forefront. And Jim, like you said, Brian Boyle has got to be the most improved New York Ranger I've seen in years. I mean, he went from being a dud last year, like you're looking at a 6'7", 260-pound guy, like, can you do something, please, to a guy who is playing in every situation now. He's scoring big goals. He's scoring pretty goals. And it's exciting
it's
to see because
physical,
if he
too.
Starts using that frame, forget it.
Oh, he's another one. I mean, he's a completely different player this year, and I can't think of a girl's name, but that the skating he went to, I think she saved his career.
Yeah,
I really
well,
do.
Barbara Underhill, you're talking about the figure skater there.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
You know, I found out. I listened to Boyle. He was on NHL Live, and he was talking, and he was being interviewed there, and. You know, the way Sam and Joe made it seem like Brian Boyle had taken this under his own thing to go to his Barbara Underhill, it actually was a suggestion by Jim Schoenfeld that he go see her. And it wasn't a mandatory thing for Brian. He didn't have to do it, but he decided to do it. She broke down his stride. They studied tape. They got together with his trainer, and this guy has made an incredible transformation. I mean, I sat here in the offseason, just like Paulie said, what does this guy do? What does he do? He's big, he doesn't do anything. And now he's got, you know what, 9 goals? He had 12 in his career before the season started. So he's made an unbelievable transformation. I just also wanted to talk, Paulie talked about Callahan and Dubinsky. Think about Artem Anisimov. He went from the fourth line to the first line and didn't miss a beat, you know, and that's why, and I it kind of scares me that we had to go back with Gabrick and the kind of like the for lack of a better word, the finesse first line, because with the other line, I knew what to expect. They were going to heavy forecheck. They were going to be trying to keep the puck in the zone as long as real gritty type of thing. And I still think the Rangers are evolving to kind of feel where they are as a team. And when Drury and whenever Prosper comes back, we're going to have another adjustment. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dubinsky, Callahan, and Anisimov line. You know, they even said it themselves. That's a north-south line.
Right.
Well, Dubinsky said it the other night. They play north-south hockey, and the other lines really, really don't, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I have to tell you that the one person I'm still and I love the guy, but I'm worried. I really don't like what's going on with Avery right now. You never know where he's going to be. I think playing on the fourth line is just, I don't think it's fair to him, actually. I want to see Avery play more hockey. I like the fact that, you know, they're trying to move him around. They're trying to double shift Gabrick with him. But if Sean isn't active in the game and getting some minutes, I hate to say it, but then he's just not someone the New York Rangers are going to need. If that makes any sense, because I love the guy. I want to see the guy play, and it's bothering me. You know, I mean, he's getting, what is he getting? He's lucky if he's getting 7 to 8 minutes a game now.
Well, again, you must have been in my brain last night when I was watching. I was saying to say, you know, I hate to see him play in diminished minutes, you know, and as these guys come back, he's going to fall, deeper and deeper into fourth line duty, and basically Brandon Prust is taking his job away. So I have to say to myself, who would I rather have out there, Avery or Prust? And it's a tough call now. Prust is bringing it in a lot of different ways.
I'm taking Prust.
You're taking Prust? I mean, how does everybody feel about that in the chat room?
Are you taking Avery or Prust? I'm taking Prust.
Because,
for starters, I think Prust might be a little bit better of a hockey player, and Prust doesn't come with all the other. You don't have to worry about Brandon Prust having a target on his back. Brandon Prust doesn't skate, doesn't take a shift with a black cloud over his head. Sean Avery does, and I've said before, whether it's right or it's wrong, he's earned that reputation he's got.
Right.
You know, he can woe is me all he wants, but he's in that mess because he's in that mess. Nobody put him in that mess. You know what I mean? He brought it all, you know, everything, you know, the referees watch him because he draws the attention to himself. And, you know, some of it's borderline, some of the stuff he does, you know, some of it you laugh at, some of it you roll your eyes at. But,
that high sticking penalty last night that he drew, he looked like the Zapruder film. He went down so hard. It was terrible. And he gets cold. You know, and you want Sean out there because he provides so much. But, you know, Paul, I had a consolation in this, that if there is an injury on the team, that we do have a Sean Avery to play those minutes to fill in. And he may work himself back. You know, if Prust struggles, then maybe Avery will. And I think Avery's going to be a good soldier, and I think he will be a good soldier this year. As long as he sees the team with the work ethic that they have so far. I mean, their record is pretty much identical to what it was last year at this time. But I feel so much better, and I'm sure everybody else does, about the team this year. Unless we see every game, they show some kind of resilience and some kind of tenacity. We just didn't see that.
Right, right. You know what? You know what's funny about that, Eddie? Because I've thought about a lot of even their losses this year. And, I mean, you look at the Capitals' loss. The Rangers played a pretty good game. They lost the game late. They played against Carolina. I thought they did better in that game. They lost the game late. You look at last night's game. It's not like the Rangers were dominated in any facet last night. It wasn't like the Rangers didn't have their chances last night. It wasn't like the Rangers ever looked like they really gave up last night. And even in their losses, they've seemed to be in the game. And I think that is very much different than last year. It was like, you know, I know we've had conversations. A 3-1 lead last year, and we all said, game's over, might as well turn it off.
Yep.
You know, and the thing that bothered me about it was, is it almost looked like when it was a 3-1 game last year, they gave up just like we did. You know, you didn't see the extra effort. You know, it would be the last 2 minutes and they would, like, be this whole new team all of a sudden pressing to try and score goals. And if it wasn't Gabrick, the game was over. But last night you didn't have that feeling. The other night against Pittsburgh, I thought the Rangers showed probably, and this is going to be crazy to say, but it's in different facets, that I thought the Rangers played probably one of their better games in Pittsburgh due to the fact that the Penguins had always had the puck, and they had to fight the Penguins and the officiating. And honestly, you know, we can bring up the officiating all the time, but really, the New York Rangers really battled hard in that game, trying to fight against probably, if not arguably, the best team in the league, regardless of what their schedule is. They have a dynamic force. And I think, I just think that the Rangers showed some character. They went down. It was late in the game. It's, oh my God, is it all over? And they come back and win this thing. Fighting against the officiating and probably one of the better squads in the game.
Surely. I mean, you have a you're playing a team that has two elite players. I mean, you know, superstars in Cindy and Evgeny. And, you know, that game and the four games previous to it, it's just been a tug of war with the officiating. And they've managed to overcome most of that adversity. And that's something we just have not seen in a Rangers team in a long time. And as long as that continues, we'll support them. We, you know, win or lose, if we see that kind of stuff, it's going to be no problem with Ranger fans and the team. And that's why, with the jubilation after that Pittsburgh game, it was almost like a playoff game. We finally overcame all that nonsense, and we stuck it to them. I mean, let's just put it, let's talk brass tacks. We stuck it up their ass. And that's what I was so happy about. I mean, I was finally, you know, we get the big middle finger was out, and it was like, hey, screw you guys. And and Paulie, I want to commend you because I listened to your show on Tuesday. You gotta listen to this show. Paulie had was it Kurt Walker? Chris Kostopoulos and Ron Gresham talking about the former players' pension plans and the dealings with their alumni, which is a must listen for all fans to get get the real deal on how they're being treated by the NHL. And this is why this league will never progress until it takes care of some basic things, and one of them is taking care of their players who helped shape the league that we now root for. Another one is the officiating. They have to get it fixed. These people that they are hiring are inadequate, incapable, insufficient to do the job that needs to be done. I'm sorry. Every night I saw a Ranger game, I'm seeing fictitious calls. It's not just the Rangers. I have the package. Everybody's getting jipped. And they want to have reviews, and they need to, less rules, less is more, as they say. Don't try to get the game perfect, but at least put somebody in charge. I don't even get into that, but you know how I feel. So check out Paulie D's Instigators program, and that was a great listen, Paulie. I really thank you for having that show. I was really riveted to that one.
I appreciate it. Let me just make a real quick comment. You know, a lot of people have commended the show and talked about. If you're my friend on Facebook, just keep sharing this program. And the article with Alan Mackey from the Globe and Mail, I actually got in touch with him. Very nice guy. He actually kind of kicked this thing off. It's an excellent article. It's not a real long read. It's only about 2 pages. And it talks about, and I can't stress it enough, how 99% of the people who I've talked to and came in contact with or have emailed me or whatever the case, they cannot believe that guys like Wolpenubny and Eddie Johnstone and so many players, you know, players that we know, they're ex-New York Rangers. You know, you watch them. Your dad watched them. Your brother watched them. And the funny thing is, I mean, these guys are dying away in basement apartments. And, you know, it's just sad. It's sad. They got ripped off by Allen Eagleson so bad. And, you know, it's just really so unfair. And, you know, a lot of people are kind of ignorant with some of the stuff. I brought up Brad Park. Brad Park was a superstar, was an all-star in his day, and he was making $300,000 a year, a little bit more than $300,000 a year, but he was also paying 50% tax. Here's the thing that people forget is these guys age. Think about today's economy the same way. These guys age. They have no medical insurance. I have so many other stories we're going to bring to the forefront, and I'll share one real quick with you is – do you know that they bought, the NHLPA and the NHL bought most of these players out and told them, listen, and I'm talking about guys who retired late 70s, early 80s, said, listen, you got 1 year to get take care of your medical. After that, you're on your own. That's how Eagleson did things. Yeah.
He's done a lot of things.
Sorry, different article. But that's how he did right. things. Now, you're looking at guys that are 50, 60 years old that are, you know, are really suffering. I mean, you're talking about guys, even if they were, let's say they were millionaires, their money would be gobbled up because they have no insurance. They can't afford the insurance. I mean, you're talking about head traumas and back problems and all these other things, and it's just so unfair. But I don't want to get into it too much. You guys really need to check out the show and share it with
yeah.
people, because we are trying to start a little bit of a stir. And the other thing I'd like to do is I'd actually, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to ask you on the air too. I'd like you guys to do an interview with Kirk. Let him get his story out there. And I'll talk to Kotze. I'm sure Kotze will call in. And maybe
oh, yeah.
get a couple other guys, because they really want to get this thing rolling. And I feel that, you know, being that the forums that we have, we could take on some of the responsibility here to try to help these guys get their stories out so they can make a stir. But it's a great point. The NHL really continues to walk around with egg on their face between this and the Colin Campbell story and the good old boy club and Eagleson's. And it just goes on and on and on, and it never seems to stop.
I just wanted to – just one little thing, and I'll let you go here.
Yeah.
The guys who wrote the article on your show said, and I don't know what the number was, but they contacted the player reps from, I guess, like 16 teams or something. 26 teams. This is current player rep from each team, and said, listen, can each player just donate $1,000 to – like each team, each player on each of these 26 teams donate $1,000 that would go towards, I guess, like a pension fund or a stipend for these retired players. And how many of the refs did they hear back from?
It was a few years ago, and yes, he said, and actually Grapes, Don Cherry, known as Grapes, actually went over the air and had said, you know, what, kind of got involved and said, listen, you know, we need to have some of these players and the reps get involved and get involved and maybe donate $1,000, $500, whatever it is, to get this thing rolling, and we could put it in a fund and maybe invest it and help them get some help. And yes, they got no response. But, you know, it is awful. And, you know, Alan Mackey also talked about his interview with Pat LaFontaine on the show, and it was very intriguing because, you know, Eddie, you know, and I know you do too, Jim. You've been around. I mean, Jim, you met Ron Greshner, I believe you said, or your brother did, or somebody met him in the airport.
Yeah,
and he's just like one of those guys, you know, hey, how you doing? Thanks a lot, the whole nine yards. And Pat LaFontaine had said, knowing players my whole life, I think the problem here is that they don't really understand. They're not understanding how troublesome well, how much in trouble these players truly are. At, you know, the alumni players you're talking about. And knowing hockey players, and this is coming from Pat LaFontaine, knowing hockey players, I'm sure they'll want to help. And, you know, hockey players are usually the best athletes to talk to. I've talked to some baseball guys. I've talked to some football guys. I was actually very lucky to hang out with many New York Jets and Giants at one time. They're good guys. But hockey players are the down-to-earth type of guys, and you guys know that firsthand. I mean, listening to how many times you had the cat on and things like that. I mean, these guys are just, you know, your buddy next door, and they're pretty awesome. So yeah, I don't know,
man. That's because hockey players grow up differently than baseball players and football players, basketball players. They don't have the sense of entitlement from the time they're, you know, 14 or 15. You know, they're not treated like royalty. You know, these kids are getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and some of them drive, you know, 2-3 hours to go play hockey. They're just brought up differently, and I think they have a different sense of values than the other sports.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to hold you guys anymore. I know you got a full switch.
Oh, it was great.
Guys, thanks again, and I'll continue to listen to the program. I appreciate it.
All right, Paulie, take care of yourself. And thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
The great Paulie D from the Instigators Show. A must listen to his last broadcast. And I don't promote anybody else's broadcast. Except Paulie D's. Everybody, other than Paulie D's Instigators program, there really isn't any other program you should be listening to. All right. Whoa. I still got you there, Jim. Are you still with me?
I'm still here.
Okay. There you go. All right. Now, we must press on, as we say, right, Jim? We must succeed where others have failed. We got a lot of phone calls to get to, and now we got about 53 minutes left in the program. The number to call, area code 646-478-4692. So far, so good. Let's get back to some Ranger hockey now that we've taken the We've gotten on our proverbial soapboxes and advocated for ex-retired players. Let's get to the phones. This person has been holding since the beginning of the program, and I apologize. I'm a little bit rusty here at the switchboard and the time allotment. Just haven't been able. I'm an organizational mess, ladies and gentlemen. I'm like the New York Islanders. They suck. They are terrible. You should have seen me at this game. Oh, I was like, hey, is this the drive for 11? Remember that drive for 5? I got pictures with these two Islander fans who had bags on their heads. I said, finally, two Islander fans I can respect.
Was it Big Wang and Little Wang?
Didn't see them, but that new coach there, Jack Capuano, somebody's got to buy that guy a new suit. He looks like Little Jack, fat guy. Fat guy little jacket routine that Chris Farley did in Tommy Boy. I mean, he was busted the seams there.
Maybe the guys with the bags on their heads, maybe that was Big Wang and Little Wang.
Oh, what a joke. There's about 8,000 there. 7,000? Oh, it was terrible. Anyway, let's get to the area code 917. I think it's 887. Can't read it here. I don't have my glasses on.
That's Zach.
But Zach, I'm sorry you've been waiting so long. I apologize, Zach. You're on the air with Jim and Eddie Boucher, Bandit Radio. How are you?
How's it going, guys?
Hi, Zach.
Jim, you still in New Mexico?
Yes, I am still in New Mexico.
Hey, you think that could be a new place for the Islanders to play?
They could play
in Area 51. I'm sure they got some secret recipe for them to get on a winning streak.
They are playing in Area 51. You ever see those freaking toys that go to an Islander game?
You guys are talking about the Islanders earlier, and I posted in the chat room. You guys are talking about the 85th anniversary. Yeah, everybody's kind of upset that this is just a big marketing scheme. Well, I said in the chat room, well, it's the 49th anniversary of the Islanders franchise or something like that, so they're trying to get a 49-game losing streak. So far they're at 11, and they got 38 to go.
You know what? I look at it this way. I'd rather be celebrating the 85th anniversary of the franchise than the 70th anniversary of the 1940 Cup winner.
Yes.
That is true.
And to show you how much these Islander fans are putzes, ignorant, in the midst of a 10-game losing streak, when the Ranger game went final on the scoreboard 3-2, they started chanting, "The Rangers suck." You all turned it on the low.
En route to an 11th straight loss.
Right. I mean, they can't let it go. This game had nothing to do with the game I was watching. It had nothing to do with the Rangers. But they're so obsessed with us that and so ignorant that in the midst of a 10-game losing streak, and like you said, on their way to an 11th disgusting loss, with this fat bastard behind a bench unit and then has a right-side jacket, Jack Romano, they're a disgrace. 7,000 fans in the building. Sparky the Dragon, the whole doctor, I mean, and they still say the Rangers suck. Get out of here! You got Bruno Gervais and Josh Bailey and Blake Como and all these losers.
They've got nothing to be proud of, so they go for the next best thing.
Just ignorant fans.
Yeah, well, you know, their next win will probably be against the Rangers.
Oh, great. Thanks, Zach.
What? I'm just being an optimistic, that's all.
Well, Zach.
Optimistic for who?
Guys, I have an interesting topic that I want to discuss real quickly, and then I'll move on to a couple other things. But they showed this replay in last night's game, and I haven't heard anybody address this issue ever since. In the first period, Fedotenko got, I wouldn't say, you know, clipped in the face, but, you know, that player swung his stick into his face and hit him in the helmet. Now, how come there was no call? How come nobody's screaming their heads off for a suspension or anything like that? I mean,
I don't remember that play specifically.
It was in the first period. It was in the Rangers zone. And the Rangers are about to take possession to bring it back up the ice. But it was like a big swing, and I'm surprised the refs didn't see that. It hit him right in the head, and the Bruins player was facing Fedotenko, and Fedotenko was facing him as well.
Well, you know, we've been getting dropped by these referees since the beginning of the season, so that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I know I have a Ranger fan persecution complex where I think all the refs are against us, but...
There have been a lot of missed calls. I mean, we can go on and on about the Rangers against the Penguins.
Well,
but
referees are very honest. Colin Campbell, your penalties is very honest. He's just joking around in those emails, according to Sam and Joe. He's an upstanding guy when he calls off the board a little faker.
I love Sam Rosen, but yeah, I agree. They shouldn't be laughing that off. Like, oh yeah, it was just no biggie. You remember back in the early 90s, it was Rangers Islanders. Richter was playing, and this was before the 94 Cup run. And it was at the Garden. The Rangers won 5-2, and Al Arbor put on his goons to end the game.
Yeah.
And then they started attacking the Rangers.
And then Dakota.
Sam and JD started ripping into the Islander players. They were screaming jerks, they were screaming idiots, and, you know, all sorts of things. You know, I miss that. I miss them yelling at the players.
Well,
like that.
It wasn't Sam so much, it was JD. JD
said,
"No, Sam
started. Sam screamed, "Oh, look at that jerk."
He did actually say something like that, but they pummeled Jeff Bloomberg. I think it was Mick Fakoda and Baumgartner. I think it was Fakoda. Now, Bloomberg was not a fighter. He was a big fighter in the minor leagues, but not a fighter in the National Hockey League. He was a born-again Christian. Like you said, Rangers were up big, and they gooned it up. They targeted him. They attacked him. And then JD said, quote, I can quote it. He said, I have the absolute utmost respect for Al Arbor, but what he did right here was absolute garbage.
It was a disgrace. He said it was a disgrace.
And, you know, it's, I don't know what your point is about that, but that was the officiating
has
to be good.
Because you're saying that Sam and Joe have gotten soft because, you know, they're also talking about
yeah.
Crosby,
okay,
Malvin, Arthur, Lundqvist. I mean, obviously, they're not going to say word for word that Crosby said F you to Lundqvist.
Yeah, Sam has been bought and sold after JD left. He lost his soul. Oh, I'm not being sorry. But, Zach, I will be seeing you at the NHL store tomorrow. I am going partaking in watching the Ranger game in the city.
I'm going to be there from
opening. There
I'm going to be, Eddie, I'm going to be there from opening to 3 p.m., so I don't know if you are going to see me.
I may get there around
you
gotta,
30. You got to make it on time. I'm working there tomorrow and Saturday from opening to 3 p.m. And another thing before I go, and I don't know if anybody noticed this, but Olli Jokinen has been suspended for 3 games. So he's gonna miss his quote-unquote triumphant return to New York City.
Yes, he's going to miss his video tribute.
Then they'll end it with the missed shootout shot.
He, his video tribute, what was that guy? Derek Lee? Is that the guy's name?
David Lee.
Jokinen was suspended because of a hit against Voltek Bolsky, Phoenix Coyotes, and he will not be back when the Rangers take on Calgary. And I stole that line about the tribute from Carp Squad. He had that up. That was pretty funny. All right, Zach, we must move on. I thank you for calling and holding. You're always a top-notch guy, and I always love hearing from you.
Thanks, and I hope I'll definitely see most of you guys Friday evening, but come to the NHL store Black Friday during the day because I'm going to be there working.
I got some
toasters to sell.
Oh, nice. Mazel tov.
All right, I got to go to sleep, so good night, guys.
All right, good night.
Take it easy, Zach.
All right, you too. Have a safe trip.
John Newman, who's co-producing the show with me tonight, wanted me to mention the Rangers are 0-11 when they have the two-manager advantage. I don't know if that's true, but John Newman did inform me of that. So
that sounds about right.
It sounds about right. All right, here we go. We're going to continue with the phone call, the jam, Jimmy. You don't mind, do you? I mean, you got anything to get off your chest here? How the... You need to talk?
Why don't we just mention once again next Friday night, the Poitin Still in Hackensack, New Jersey on Main Street for the Blue Shirt Banner viewing party, Rangers taking on the Panthers. If you have not done so already, I would recommend calling and reserving a table.
I reserved 2 tables, and that was just for myself. I will be there. I got my tables. I called in the other day. Very nice lady answered the phone. And you got to book those tables if you want to hang. You know? So, information on RangerCrisis.com and the Blue Shirt Banner. We've been posting it like every other day, every 3 days.
Yeah, and actually, there is something else I wanted to mention about next week. Maybe somebody out there can help us out with something. You and I will obviously be working off the laptops while we do the show. I believe Ricky said there's a PA system there or something that he's going to use for the question and answers. But if there is anybody out there that would want to maybe bring their laptop and a set of computer speakers that we could set up so that people could actually listen to the other end of the show if people call in, things like that. Because otherwise they're just going to hear you and I talking. And if we have people on the phone, they won't be able to hear that part of the show. So if somebody wants to do that, the bar has Wi-Fi, so hopefully we can all get set up on the Wi-Fi and then you guys can listen to the show while you're just sitting there, you know, watching us do the show. So if anybody out there wants to bring a laptop and a pair of, good computer speakers that they can set it up and get the show playing, that'd be great.
Now, I have computer speakers. They're not all that big, though, but I'll bring them down anyway. But, yeah, if you could help us out with that laptop, okay, that would be much appreciated. Yeah.
And don't forget, just a reminder for you to remember to bring your headset.
Thanks, Dad. Now.
I'm just reminding you. You know what? I'm just trying to be nice.
Don't ever try to be nice with me. You got to come at me mean. You're going to be a disciplinarian. And speaking about mean and discipline, my dad will be in attendance. I confirmed with him today. The mouth.
Well, that makes one of my dads.
What do you mean?
I don't know if he's going to make it. My dad, he just had surgery on his knee about a month ago. About a month and a half ago. And he's not feeling up to par, and he just doesn't know if he's going to be up for it. I'm going to try and talk him into it, but. Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting this show from yet another state. I have just entered Texas.
Wow! Don't mess with
the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart
of Texas. Wow. Now, we were talking about the Islanders before, and before I get to the phone calls, I wanted to play. My friend Jeff Diamond has really taken it on the chin, so to speak, with his Maple Leafs. And Jeff wrote a really nice rap about the Islanders, and we've edited it down to about 5 seconds in order for it to be broadcastable, if that's the word. And this is the Jeff Diamond Yummy Yummy Cupcake song. And it's a little short ditty that I play all the time on my computer.
Yummy 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 cupcake! Yummy yummy cupcake! Fuck that! Fuck that shit!
There you go! A yummy yummy cupcake! Fuck that shit clip. Here it is again, if you missed it the first
time. Yummy 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 cupcake! Yummy yummy cupcake! Fuck that! Fuck that shit!
There you go. That great cutter.
Here's to you, Jack Capuano. Suck in my dick.
Suck of mine. All right. Now we move on to that absurdity to even bigger absurdity. As we go to the area code 631-974, you're on the air with Jim and Eddie.
It's Rock, I think.
Rock, are you there? Caller, are you there? All right. There you go. I have disconnected, discontinued. That's discombobulated phone call. And now we go to 946-827. Caller, you're on the air.
I don't know who that is.
Welcome to Blue Shirts Bandy Radio. You're on the air with Jim and Eddie. Okay, well, lots of technical problems going on here.
Play the button.
I have to. Now, I don't know what happened. We got two in a row there. Maybe they're just calling in and listening. What's that clip?
Price is Right. It's called Price is Right.
Yeah, so it figures, you know, I go to two consecutive phone calls, I'm rushing Zach, and it turns into a total schlemiel. All right, let's go to the phone. Let's smack daddy. Here is area code 201-248. You're on the air with Jim and Edward. Is this John Newman? Is area code 201? Are you there? Yeah, Block Talk Radio is. Hello, are you there? Block Talk Radio crapping out on us again, I think.
I have to start telling jokes.
Yeah. I've rebooted here, so hopefully we can. I'm going to try one more time on the 201 area code. The operation has timed out. Beautiful. All right, so let's press on. Let's get down to business. Let's get back on track before this whole thing derails. I guess I'll do a roll call while we're trying to kill time here. And kind of inform Jim who is in this chat room at this particular time. We've got Adam from Chicago, who I believe is going to be at the Boytonville with us in New Jersey. Adam, I can't wait to shake the hand. And I bet you can't wait to meet the mouth, as well as the great Jim Schmiedeberg. And I have mentioned, and I'm going to say, Jim is a very funny young man. There's not too many people that I think have the comedy chops that I have, if I may say so. I mean, I'm a little bit of an egotistical man, and I do believe that I am the funniest man on earth. And that's not just looks. I don't know. All of a sudden, Henrik's 10 has... Is that Kristen? Henrik's 10? Anyway, friendalicious. I don't understand what that IM means. Anyway, Adam from Chicago, I can't wait to meet you, and I can't wait to hang with you, and I can't wait to shake your hand. Andrew SFL, that's right. A Henrik Lundqvist aficionado, if you will, from Florida. Love that Ranger fans are in Florida everywhere. Avery Rules, that's the great Claude. Claude, I had some little Vincent's pizza tonight. And let me tell you, Little Vinny's does not disappoint. And then there's Coach of the Crazy Greek. Coach of the Crazy Greek, Jim, will be there in Hackensack, New Jersey. Yes. I bet you can't wait to meet Coach. Jim? Okay. Then we have Jeffrey Diamond. Jeff Diamond will not be in attendance, but I got to tell you, Jeff Diamond is a one-of-a-kind man, and he is a tremendous hockey fan and a proponent of everything that I do. And I always commend him for his dedication and his fornication. Oh, I don't know. But anyway, the dedication.
You're my yummy, yummy cupcake. Yummy, yummy cupcake. Fuck that. Fuck that shit.
Texas, yes. Avery Rules. I mean, Adam from Chicago said, Jim's signal has been shot. You don't mess with Texas, you Yankee. You Yankee bastard. And we have the great DB Maven, IT technician, or one of the all-time greats. You really got to respect his opinion on everything. He's just that good, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to him and Mandar and a couple other people, they know what the hell they're talking about. And this lexicon, it does what you call it is a rarity. I don't know what I'm saying. I've lost Jim, and I'm completely unawares. Now we have Frosty, who has joined us, Anthony, or Tony, as you like to call him. He will be there at that point in Hackensack, New Jersey, November 26th. Be there, or be square. Look, everybody's attending. Is DB Maven attending? I have to ask my engineer, Charlie Ospie-Spumonti, is DB showing up? What does DB stand for, anyway? Anyway. Ospie Spumonti is not answering me. And then we have Henrik's 10, who I believe is Kristen. Can I get a ruling on that? Is that Kristen? Kristen, love to see you here. Glad to see you. And Yog 68, Eva, every day I wake up and I go on my Facebook and there's a little message by Eva that says, T-minus in 8 days, T-minus in 7 days. And I love it. Because it reminds me that we will all be together as we come as one. Wait, let me not have to rephrase that. As we come together. Wait, let me rephrase that. As we Ranger fans join together and go absolute berserker with in person with each other and have such a great time. And Kristen, talk to that Jackie Lamba. I want her there. And I told her so. You're a friend of this show. And then we've got the great Jay of the Dead. I love him. He's my Weezer fan. I love that new Weezer album, Hurley. Everybody should go out and illegally download it. Well, get it off iTunes. iTunes, which is a friend of this show. You heard it before. We got people all over the world listening to us. And then we got the great John Newman. John Newman filling us up with information, showing off his girlfriend in the chat room for us all to meet, the nice Stacy Katz. John Newman always looking out for the best intentions of this show. And John, we love you for that. And then we got the Loon Ranger. My favorite name, my screen name of all time. And it doesn't take much to amuse me, but amuse me. And I love the fact that Loon Ranger, and I hope the Loon Ranger will be there. I haven't any compliment, and the great Mandar. That's right, Mandar's here. Never fear, Mandar's here, and his, like the great prognosticators of all time, Jimmy the Greek and Nostradamus, he predicted the Islanders would not have double-digit wins by December. They might not have it by April. The way they're going, Mandar, another man that you have to daw. And then his message, Gretz, the great Joe. I love the man. I still feel bad when we had Gretzky on. We didn't give him a chance to talk to Gretzky. I didn't know. We only had limited time with him. I still regret that, Joe. See, I think about you. And then Paulie D, who is really a star that needs no introduction. Paulie D talking about the issues that that are too big to deal with on this show, because we really don't have the brains to deal with any big issues. We're really concerned about the Rangers, what the Rangers are doing, how the Rangers are screwing up, how the Rangers are succeeding. We're drinking the Kool-Aid here. We're behind our Rangers. And Dan Wasilli. That's right. When I was a nobody, who was there? My wife. When I was a nobody, who was there? Wasilli. It goes my wife, Wasilli, and then the rest of you. The wise man was behind me, making me logos, designing things. He's an original mouth man. And you can take that any way you want. So I got to tell you, I love you all, and thanks so much for joining us tonight. We're not done with the program. Now I just got to figure out where Jim is again. This should be another. I got Ricky here. Jim, I don't see him anywhere. All right. Let's go to the area code 846-827. You're on the air with Jim and Eddie. We're just Eddie at the moment. You're on the
846 air. 846
or 845? That's you. 845. It's DB Maven. I don't have my glasses. DB Maven, welcome to the program, my friend.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. How have you been? I know you've been incredibly busy of late.
Been really busy, but it looks like the light at the end of the tunnel was not an oncoming train, so I have no complaints.
Very good.
And I'll pick up with a couple of rebuttals to my buddy Paulie D.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll start
the floor
with
is yours.
The first rebuttal is the commentary about Stepan being on the ice for the 5-on-3. And as I said in the chat room, he's there because he's probably the best passer on the team outside of Gabrick. You could question some of the other decisions of who was on the ice. I would have had Girardi, because Girardi at least isn't afraid to shoot, and he takes a snapshot instead of winds up for a slap shot that you can tell is coming from last Sunday.
Well, I mean, Girardi has been.
Yeah, I mean, he's been scoring. He's not afraid to shoot, and it's a nice, simple get it on the net snapshot.
Right.
That, you know, it's going to get some deflections. You're going to get some rebounds. He gets it through to the net. Now, if we were talking in September, and I said to you that by Thanksgiving, Girardi's going to have more points than Delzato, you would have laughed me out of the building.
Yes, I would have laughed him out of the building because I would have thought I would have, because Delzato is, you know, that's his game. It's offense. But frankly, Girardi has, like you said, he's been putting that puck on that net with that, you know, He's just getting it to this traffic in front of it when he gets it there. Delzato needs to be, you know, when I was at the Islander game, Stamkos was playing, and I almost want to yell out, can you please tell MDZ to maybe rush the puck more instead of stretch past it and get his, he's got to, he can't be so predictable. And I think he's become very predictable. And I would like to see them more. But, yeah, you're right. Girardi's been the man.
And the other thing is what was surprising about that 5-on-3 is that he didn't have a Boyle or an Anisimov on the ice to literally pot themselves in front of the net for the screens. I mean, you know, you can argue, you know, Cali's been doing a great job in front of the net and on rebounds when on the regular shift. But on a 5-on-3 like that, you know you're going to get bounced around. So they really needed some different people on the ice. And I had no problem with Stepan being out there because he really is the best passer. The problem, as Tortorella said, is they're too stationary. Way too stationary. They need to move around. They needed to cycle. And for whatever reason, on a 5-on-4, they cycle fine. On a 5-on-3, it's like they just like freeze or something. So anyway, that's the first one. The second one is the whole issue that I have a lot of empathy for in terms of the old players who got screwed by Eagleson and, you know, so on and so forth. But the issue there is I agree with Paulie that, you know, the players should kick something in. But what about the teams? What about the organizations that these people played for and effectively made them what they were at the time, good, bad, or indifferent, okay? The organizations that are making millions of dollars or maybe not making millions of dollars if they're in Phoenix should be kicking some money into these guys, you know, if you will, retirements or whatever, to take care of them, to put it all on the current players. And I'm not saying it all should be on the players or all should be on anyone, but the entire NHL should step up on this, and it should be publicized and be made an organizational issue instead of talking about it as an individual issue.
Yeah, I mean, but they can't even get to first base with that. I mean, I listened to that interview, and that Kurt Walker, who spent time, I think, with the Bruins, he went to some function for the alumni, and they wouldn't even let him in because they were like, well, you're not on our list, and you didn't play enough games. Because I think he only played like 71 games in the NHL, and they didn't even have the decency to, you know, they really gave him a hard time at this event. So I guess it's a long way from the organizations taking care of them financially. But you're right. It's got to be done right. It's got to be done by the former teams. I think a lot of players are bitter about it. A lot of
And I, you know, Paulie's saying it, you know, NHL's what was said, and maybe I took it out of context, Paulie. That's no problem. But, I mean, I agree with you. It needs to be publicized. It needs to be brought into the bright light. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that can be done about that. But, you know, I just don't think it should start with the current players. It needs to be publicized and be put out there for the entire organization, put the NHL in the spotlight for it, and get them to start doing something with it. You know, as far as the Rangers go, I can't tell you, and I said this the last time I was on, can't tell you how thrilled I am watching this team at this point, because I never thought that they were going to be able to establish the identity that they have as being a team that's actually tough to play against. It's great that, and I don't know who gets the credit. You can give credit probably all around, and some of it goes to the scouting staff, and some of it goes to Tortorella and whoever put the bug in the organization's ear to stop going down the free agent route, get targeted, cost-effective, one- or two-year replacements to fill in particular organizational needs, and then bring up the youth. I mean, it's great that Stepan is up. It's fantastic to watch Anisimov doing what he's doing, and to watch, literally watch, Dubinsky and Callahan at nearly a point per game at this point in the season is fantastic. I mean, it's just exciting as hell.
Yeah, and you know, and you mentioned the guys that should get credit. And listen, we best say that we have made a mockery of this man, but his off season was great. You know, he didn't do much. I mean, you know, he did the Frolov signing, but it's only a 1-year deal. You know, and I really, again, Gordy Clark, John Tortorella, so far this year, Torts has done a complete turnaround. He didn't blow his lid last night. He said it's just a game. We lost to a tough team. He's done everything right. He seems like he's a little bit more looser, not as tightly wound. And you're right. They're a fantastic team to root for. Now, I think I have Jim back on the phone here. Jimmy, how you there? Jim.
He hit another dead zone.
Yeah. Well, I was roaming, and then I roamed from one network to another, and I think that's why I lost the call. It was fun. I was listening to him talking, and just as he was saying, the organization has changed from overspending on free agents. I swear to God, I was passing a billboard for the Drury Inn and Suites in Amarillo, Texas. Exactly. The timing could not have been better.
It's all in the timing.
That's right. Timing is everything.
We were afraid that you like hit one of those Longhorns out there.
No, haven't seen a Longhorn yet.
After the game, the U.S. Olympic team was announced, and two New York Rangers will be on that team, Captain Chris Drury and alternate Captain Ryan Callahan. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to New York Rangers Hockey. Sam Rosen along with Joe Micheletti and Dave Maloney. And what a great, great tribute to two fine New York Rangers, Chris Drury and Ryan Callahan.
Do we really? Thank God I was going to waiting for you to let us listen to Joe Micheletti. I mean, that just would have made my night.
I just love that Drury. He's a fine, fine Ranger.
Gag.
Sorry,
me.
I had...
Micheletti needs to go away. I don't know where. I don't care.
What did you think, DB, about that whole Colin Campbell's a stand-up guy? He was just joking when he was referring to his son getting special treatment. Did they read that thing that was expletive-laden, those emails? I mean, are they kidding? I mean, do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, my opinion, and you rarely do you hear me say this. What those two guys really need to do is focus on hockey and shut the fuck up. Because... just stick to the hockey. You know, oh, Colin Campbell, he's such a jokester, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a crap?
They're hardly reported.
You know, and Jay just said it in the chat room. Howie Rose should replace Rosen. I don't know if he should replace Rosen, but he should replace Micheletti for sure. Actually, the ideal combination is going to end up being Howie Rose and Dave Maloney.
Yeah, I would like that. Although Howie Rose presented as an announcer, what is it, 237? That guy announces the worst teams ever.
Hopefully he doesn't bring that curse with him.
Pretty soon Islander games are going to be on QVC, so Howie might be available.
So Jim, where are you now in Texas? The Alamo again?
Just east of El Paso.
I couldn't tell you what town I'm in, but I'm 43 miles west of Amarillo, Texas.
Wow.
Yeehaw.
So
man, don't pick up any hitchhikers. You got to work.
Well, let me tell you, on my journey, I've seen a few hitchhikers, and I don't want to racially profile anybody, but they all look like they just came out of but they all look like they just came under the fence, if you get my meaning. And I'm not near Canada, so I think that'll give you an idea what, you know. Can I paint any more of a picture? How's that?
Oh, you just gone overboard here. You really crossed the line now, Jimmy.
I mean, the profiling is really tough, you know?
Did you say it was Scott Gomez?
Yeah. Maybe trying to get some family over there. I don't know. When you said racially profiling, I thought of... Oh, I don't even... you're right. I think when it comes to journalistic integrity, they've mailed it in. And plus, who cares what they have to talk about? Call the damn game, Rosen! I got to hear him editorialize. They're talking about Tim Thomas's pads while the other team scored. No, he's adjusted his pads. Score! It's like, it's terrible.
Yeah, they've gotten Sam used to be great, and I still like to listen to him, but he's gotten off on so many tangents. And I blame Micheletti, actually, because to me, he just talks too damn much. But, you know, Rosen falls into the trap, so he's making some comment, and then it stalls. Scores! Oh, my God! It's like, what a surprise!
What a surprise! There's a hockey game going on, folks! I thought this was a talk show. It's funny because I agree with you. Rosen at one point was pretty good. He was pretty good. He was on his P's and Q's when Davidson was there. But I find that the broadcast is a promotion of the other team rather than the Rangers. You know, by the time I watch the game and, you know, I sit there and I, at the end of the game, I know more about the other team and I know nothing about the Rangers like that than I knew going into it. I mean, I know the Rangers lose to the Bruins. I know what Mark Savard likes for breakfast. I like when he's coming back and how the, you know, Brad Marchand, what his wife's name is. They're promoting the other team the whole game. I don't care. Let's talk about the inner workings of the Rangers. I don't care. It's like they get the press release from the PR guy from the other team and they got to get it all in. Oh, the Bruins have lost three out of the last five. And I don't care.
Who was it last night during the game was going to the net? One of the Rangers was going to the net, and he kind of got hit with a stick to the face as he was going down. And Micheletti just kept saying, no, I think that was just a fine defensive play, Sam. And meanwhile, they're showing all these replays where the stick comes up and hits the guy in the hits the Ranger player in the face. And finally, they had to show Micheletti like eight replays. Of the I don't remember who it was on the Rangers. And I'm screaming at the TV, Micheletti, you asshole! He got hit in the face with a stick. And even Sam, in his dementia-fied mind, is saying, Joe, he got it. He's getting. What are you talking about? Oh, he's leading with the shoulder, Sam. And then finally, they show the replay where he's getting hit in the face. Joe goes, oh, Sam, I guess you were on top of that one.
It's those new glasses.
How bad is it when you have to admit that you didn't pick up on something that Sam Rosen picked up on? I mean, for God's sake, Sam Rosen, you know, I mean, he doesn't do the Friday games because he's traveling for football. He doesn't do the Saturday games because he's doing football. On Sunday, I was watching the NFL at my friend's house on the package. Sam's in Seattle or San Francisco. He's in Seattle doing the Arizona-Seattle game, and the next night he's in Pittsburgh. I mean, how the hell does this old man keep up?
Well,
what's scary is that this old man who's having trouble keeping up and is literally flying all over the country, right, sees things that Joe Micheletti can't. Can you cut me a break, please?
I mean, you know, that's the other thing is that, you know, Sam, he's like third or fourth on the list when it comes to Fox football. So he's always in either Arizona or he's in San Francisco or he's in Seattle. You know, he's always got the game that nobody gives a shit about. You know, I mean, it's like you know, it's the bottom of the barrel of NFC games. Sam's there doing the game. And then he's doing Chicago Bears preseason games. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's flying all over. Joe can't keep up with him. I mean, that alone
right.
should have Joe fired. I mean, Sam's 87
well, right.
years old.
Well, you know what's really good is they're talking about it in the chat room. You know, it could be worse. We could have John Giannone putting us to sleep.
Oh, God.
John Giannone.
Or even better, the most annoying voice I think I've heard announcing in a long time, Bill Pedo.
Oh, God.
Bill.
He did something really wrong at ESPN. I don't know how he wound up in that. Across the street from Madison Square Garden. He must have something really wrong. I don't know what it was, but he did something to wind up over there. And, you know,
probably had something to do with an intern.
Yeah. I mean, I can excuse Rosen to a point because he's got to memorize so many names doing these NFL games. Mr. Lenny, this is all he does. He's able to focus on the hockey. You know, he said, you know, Sam's got to memorize the third running back for, you know, Michael Crabtree on Arizona, whatever, and he's got to, and then he comes in, he probably gets rushed in, and he's got to memorize the lineups and the whole thing. Michelin's sitting there all three.
He's got to get his hair put on.
Both of them.
Oh. And Jack. Jag 68 really just put it in perspective in the chat room. Basically, we can complain all we want, but, and I quote, how about the dickwads on Versus?
Last night, Sam Rosen and Joe Micheletti were the dickwads on Versus.
I got news for you. And I am in the minority. I don't mind Fred Nagy. I do not mind him.
Oh, kids.
I am in the minority with that.
Hell.
Eddie O can go blow. He's a turncoat. He's dead to me. But I don't mind Bill Pedo. Not Bill Pedo, Bettinati. Sorry. Got
yeah, I was going
to
say.
You
know, we complain and... And I think Jay just said it as well. You know, we were spoiled with JD, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
For a lot of years, we had a really intelligent, really well-spoken guy that could, and he was humorous, and he was on point all the time. And, you know, he really did. He spoiled the hell out. And before that, you had Sal Redlight Messina. You know, we've had a lot of really good guys. Unfortunately, Micheletti just isn't holding up his end of that long line of really good color guys.
I like Maloney. I like when he said when Micheletti was gone last week and Maloney sat in for him. That was great. So I told Ed, I said, you know, when I used to watch JD, I felt like I was learning something about the game. You know, like about the game of hockey, and I feel the same way with Maloney a little bit, whereas. You know, Micheletti, he's just rambling on with that smug look on his face. Oh, terrible.
I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I seriously, and Sam, and even Sam catches on to it. I don't think Sam, because Sam, I mean, again, with the confusing of the name, I remember when they played Toronto, he called Tyler Bozak Ryan Bozak four times, and I met up with my cousins, and my cousin goes, oh, that Ryan Bozak looks pretty good. I go, no, I actually have to correct Sam in my real life. I go, no, that's Tyler Bozak, you know. Oh, Ed, you really are into the Rangers. You know more than Sam Rosen. I go, an untrained monkey knows more than Sam Rosen. He's got too much. He's old. How is he old?
Let me ask you a question and get back to real hockey instead of people who talk about it all the time like us. If Drury comes back, what happens? What do you do?
10-game losing streak. I'm just kidding.
That's really not funny even though it is. But...
I mean, where do you put him? Fourth line, right now. How do you give him? I mean, who's which center do you take away ice time from? Boyle? No. Anisimov? No. I guess Stepan. But then, what are you going to do? Put Drury on the front line with Frolov and Gavrik? I mean,
I know who I want, Don.
I'm sorry. Frosty just cracked me up. One of his best lines of the night. Drury can set up the post game buffet.
Speaking of post games, you know, I hate to change the subject, but speaking of post games, did we lose the Jaguar sponsorship? It's the Mercedes post game show now.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
What's the Maserati post game show? The Porsche post game show?
Well,
we
now that they're
an American sponsor.
Well, you want me to address this Drury situation? You know who needs
I do.
To
yeah,
you
let's
know
talk
who needs to. All right, let's talk. Guess what? Someone, let's do a Karnak here. I have a confidence problem. Right?
Yeah.
What player? I have a confidence problem.
Eric Christensen.
I've had enough. You know what? I just don't think he is the offensive answer. I'd rather see Stepan get his minute, and then you bring Drury back. I'd like to see Drury on the fourth line and a penalty killer. Do you think that'll ever happen?
Hey, it's possible. It's possible.
Well, it's what should happen. Will it happen? Who knows?
I mean, you know, towards his post game notes and his, he kind of didn't chastise Christensen, but he really said you got to shoot there. And I think he's wearing a little bit thin.
He's 0 for everything for the week. First of all, he comes out and publicly bashes Avery, which was a grievous error for a teammate to speak publicly like that. And then, you know, his play has not been what you'd call stellar to begin with. You know, and then last night when he's got a wide open net and he's looking to pass, oh my God, you know, you got to get over it. Now I feel bad for the guy in a lot of ways, but he's not the answer. And he and White would be the first two that I would say see ya.
Did Todd White even play last night?
I thought I saw him on the ice, but he didn't. If he did, he didn't get much ice time.
I mean,
oh, he had a shovel.
He really?
he's
got
the new ice curl.
I mean,
I don't
he
think
really
he's tall
is.
Enough.
I think both those guys need to be gonzo. I see them. I'm just done with this Christensen and his upside, and he's got talent and the reclamation project. We're moving on, folks. We're going with young people. We're going with young players who are hungry and gritty. No more reclamation project.
Well, you know what? I don't have a problem if they want to take him on as a reclamation project. But if you're going to do it, let him reclaim himself in Hartford.
Right. Good point.
The hell off the NHL roster until he can prove that he's got the confidence to shoot the puck, Barry.
I mean, yeah. And we know that everybody's going to play by merit. What merit is Todd White and Eric Christensen playing for? I see none. That's my take on it. Well, we have about 30 seconds remaining in this glorious program, and I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I want to thank the great Jim Spiederberg, the semi-great, prestigious D.B. Maven, for joining me in this last 10 minutes of...
next week?
Unfortunately, Jimmy, as I said to Eddie earlier, I don't know if he saw the comment, I've got a whole ton of family coming in, so it does not look promising.
Oh, the
absolutely
hell with that.
Absolutely no excuse. That is not an excuse that's valid in this lexicon. But still, we will mention you there in very, what's the word I'm looking for? and very praising way, as you have been an integral part of this program.
Do appreciate that.
Folks,
we're the ones that appreciate it.
We may never see Jim again as he's lost in Texas. I thank you all for joining us on this edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Good night, everybody!
Hey, Jim, drive safe. You never know.